When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
And I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, and this week I'm so excited.
We have the Archie
Bunker to R.B. Arthur.
You mean not B. Arthur?
Why not?
Maud.
Yeah, Maud. Okay.
I was thinking we were Edith Bunker.
No.
Earning your name right now.
All right, let's just say it. It's John Gabris, everybody.
Yay! We wouldn't be here without you.
That's true. For those
literally,
of you who don't know,
we're in your apartment. So thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, please. Thanks for having me as a guest on your pod. And the easiest way to do that is to not leave my house.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we first started doing John's podcast. That's when we became labeled Two Old Queens. And we spun off a
slur, some would say. But yeah, we turned that slur into power.
I don't think I said it first.
I'm pretty sure I said it.
Yeah, you said it. You referred to yourselves as two old. And I was like, guys, that's
your brand.
Sorry.
Got put on a t-shirt.
You guys were my two friends that I knew, John from New York, and then had met Mark here. Mm-hmm. And then when John moved out, I was like, I'm going to sound so weird as you guys are like two of my gay male friends, but you two need to meet. And I'm like, I promise it's not just that you need
both
to be
gay on each other.
Yeah. I'm positive it's not just because you're gay, but you two are very similar in your likes and dislikes.
Well, not to take anything away from you, but three people told me that.
Yes,
when I moved
of course. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Yeah.
It seems to have worked out.
It was the third one that I was like, all right, I'll give this guy a try.
Great. I'm so pumped to be on the podcast.
We're so excited to have you.
Well, you chose like an Oscar film. But before we get into the movie, do you like...
We want to talk about Oscars.
We want to talk about the Oscars. Like, do you like the Oscars? Do you enjoy watching the Oscars? Do you try to watch the nominees? Do you care?
I don't enjoy watching the Oscars as much as I enjoy watching the nominees. I do really enjoy watching all the movies. I don't actually care who wins in the end. Like, I don't have a strong opinion either way. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a strong opinion on how I feel about how it went. I have a strong opinion going into the Oscars. I love to be like, I want this movie to win. I want this movie. Oh, it didn't win.
You're not going to lose any sleep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. If I didn't watch the Oscars and just read the, you know, but I like the monologue jokes because I like comedy and I like movies. So when monologue jokes are about movies, I get excited. But now with, what is it, like a fucking robot is hosting, like a teleprompter is hosting it or some shit? Sure. I don't even know anymore.
What is like a thankless job, it seems to be now?
It seems like it ruins your career if you do it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you get a lot of benefit from doing it.
Yeah, well, there's no win, you know
it's
what I mean?
Truly like, the an example of it. It's just an honor to be nominated.
Right? Just an
just
honor to be
asked
invited.
If I would host. Yes, that's great, but I'm going to turn it down.
Absolutely
I don't want to actually have the job.
No,
but I want to be asked to do the job.
Yeah. Oh, I might have talked about this before on A High and Mighty, but I was shushed at an Oscar party once because we were in the kitchen, a friend of mine, we were just talking like during the ceremony was happening, but we were in the kitchen just talking about what you do. And then we got shushed. And I thought that was
not
insane.
A big apartment where you were watching this Oscar party.
It wasn't that. It was a West Hollywood apartment. So
that's their fault for having the party.
There you go. But I didn't think it was that serious to warrant a shushing.
Yeah, I guess it would. I guess it would depend.
You're very easily offended.
I was shushed at a party. Can you imagine?
I mean, it's been like 10 years
for talking during the entire reason the party was happening. The entire conceit of the party was based on watching the Oscars, and I was talking in another room, and then I was shushed.
Well, I've since learned I don't go to Oscar parties anymore because I'm like, they're so boring.
Yeah, I have like 3 friends over to watch the Oscars, and we just like pause it to bullshit, fast forward through commercials, yeah. Like, yeah, and then at some point completely bail on it until Best Picture. Like, we're just like,
It is sort of like a tough tone to hit because there are some people who do really want to watch them, and there's some people who, like, I think all of us would be like, oh, I want to fucking riff off them, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so like making, like, curating the exact party, yeah, where it's like we are like, it's all the quiet people
who are gonna tweet on this couch.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I find sometimes you want to, like, you want to watch the Game of Thrones season premiere or finale, you want to be like, all right guys, it's an hour with no commercials.
Right.
Let's just, like, fucking buckle up,
be quiet, know? I might have the subtitles on,
yeah.
And you're just gonna have to learn to deal with that.
Noise canceling headphones, just reading. You're like, is he having fun?
Horse blinders. Thank you for coming.
But I do like, I love movies. So if Oscars are a reason for everyone to talk about movies that aren't Marvel and Star Wars, then I'm pumped to talk about.
If there was a movie that was like nominated that you had no interest in, but then it gets like a bunch of nominations, would you be more interested in seeing it?
Yes, I would seek it out and see it.
Are you someone who like cares about like Metacritic score? Do you care like what?
That's one thing I've never given a shit. I don't read reviews of movies ever, except until after I've seen it, and I read some of my favorite people just to see like criticism or more in depth thing. But I don't. And I never look at Rotten Tomatoes. I don't care about any of that shit. That stuff annoys me.
It annoys you.
I think what Rotten Tomatoes is like a broken system.
Well, yeah, I think they actually end up rating things too high.
Right. I think everything just comes across as like
pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it's like grading on a curve. Now it's like 85 means a bomb. Like an 85% tomato. It's like Hobbs and Shaw is 98%. It's like, who is reviewing this movie?
Yeah.
This movie's made for me, and I would not give it anywhere near that high of a score.
Right. Like,
that's the shit that pisses me off. It's like, they're like, I can't believe this, you know, this movie got 100% Rotten Tomatoes and almost no box office. I'm like, let's figure out how Rotten Tomatoes works.
Right.
It's a broken algorithm.
Do you care about that stuff?
I don't usually follow stuff like that, no. But yeah, if a movie does get a lot of Oscar attention, I will probably check it out.
Yeah, that's usually that'll mm-hmm. inspire me to a movie I wouldn't normally go see, but everyone's like, you know, Oscar contention. Oh, mm-hmm. Or like I hear from someone who I like, who I respect their movie,
right,
opinions,
yeah,
present company included, and they were like, oh, this is actually a really good movie, or so-and-so is great in this movie, that would be enough for me to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
I need such a gentle nut. I'm sure we have similar
yeah,
movie digesting
habits
yeah, where I'm like, I need almost the lightest of push to go see a movie.
Someone said they didn't want to kill themselves during that movie. All right, I'll check it out.
I was gonna sit in the empty theater anyway, might as well have a movie playing.
But I find that like if something's getting like universally like negative, terrible reviews, that makes me more interested in seeing it.
I think you're right too. It makes you kind of want to be like, all right, let me try
what's
this Booker flavored jelly bean.
Well,
or whatever.
It's that bad, it must be making some big choices or some taking.
Well, I think
a big
it also
swing.
Depends, like, are people like, oh my god, this movie is horrible, they're passionate about it, as opposed to like, meh.
Yeah,
you
I'd
know
rather
what I mean?
Like someone think, oh my god, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I'd rather see a full-on disaster than a movie that you're just like, this is just boring.
I'll
formula.
Take a Serenity over a Men in Black International.
I just
any
watched
day.
Serenity, have not watched MIBI, but I had no interest in doing it. Despite being a huge Tessa Thompson and Liam Hemsworth fan, the movie just
but
did
Chris
not.
Chris Hemsworth is the one who's in
oh,
it.
Oh, that's the one I'm wow, most wow, fan wow, of.
Okay. It's all hunky
all those
Australians
Aussies
look
the same
to me.
Well, I didn't want to see Yahoo Serious and Tessa Thompson.
Sure. Now he's old Einstein.
Wow.
That's like
that's from
this
the
is
vault.
My, this is the audience for a Yahoo Serious reference. I liked Serenity.
It's amazing. It's bad, but it's amazing.
It's bad, but it's like bad because it's trying to do a lot of shit, which
it's
is my
doing a lot.
My favorite version.
Wait, which
of
one
ben.
Was Serenity?
It's Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway, and it has a crazy twist.
Yeah,
oh, it was like a
it's on. Amazon Prime for free, so I highly recommend checking it out because it's for free.
I really don't like Anne Hathaway, though.
She's barely, she's minimally in it. It's
What's wrong with Anne Hathaway? I know she's like a drama student, but like.
I love Anne Hathaway. I'm an Anne Hathaway apologist.
Yeah, I think she's okay. I think you need to cast her in the right thing.
I don't know. There's something about her that every time I see her, I'm just like, I don't like you.
There is that element.
That she wants
some people,
to be liked so much. Too needy? Is that what it is?
It's not the too needy. I think it's she thinks she deserves to be liked.
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody?
Nope. Absolutely not. Nope. I reject your straw man argument.
But isn't everyone like that? No.
That was me doing my Mark Rennie impression.
Mark Rennie. It was spot on. Yeah.
Thank you. We're
two marks.
You should be so lucky.
How do you slip in and out of that character, John? I was just at a dinner party on Friday night with some friends, and one couple that was there, they both saw Midsommar together, and the girlfriend loved it, and the boyfriend hated it, and hated it so much that he couldn't believe, like, they're a relatively new relationship. He's like, I can't even understand why you'd like that. Like, our tastes line up so frequently, I don't even get what you enjoyed about that. And they were kind of like, not in like a heated with each other way, but like in a comical way of like, they were enjoying how much they were, and I was like, guys, I don't want to be like the hack here, but that's the sign of a very good movie.
Right.
Like one person loves it and the next person sitting next to them who has often aligned taste with you hates it. Then something cool is happening.
It's not some mass produced focus group thing that's been like executives have had their fingerprints all over it, but it's like some one person made a thing.
Yeah. I liked Midsommar a lot.
I loved it. I also think it's a sign that this man did not like this movie. It's like, well, maybe it revealed a little too much that he didn't like. Maybe he saw himself in it.
Yeah, I know. I was like it.
Okay, wait. I'll talk about this because my husband and I had a disagree. I like Midsommar a lot, but the ending, he was like, it was so triumphant. I was like, I thought it was like horrible. Like, I was like, everyone's just like, that guy was a shitty boyfriend, and I still maintain he did not deserve to be burned alive.
It's
for
a horror
not a
movie,
good-
though. You're in horror movie stakes. You don't do anything halfway. No one gets away fine in a horror movie.
Right.
The stakes are higher.
But it's not like he deserved it. I don't think it's like
people in Friday the 13th don't deserve to die either, but you don't have a problem with that.
If one person survives and banishes Freddy back to the nightmare world, but a group of people have died, you wouldn't say, like, that, I mean, I guess that is a triumph. If she survives, despite...
I mean, I think it is treating it like a triumph, but it also is like... I think the movie is also saying it is fucked up what's happening. And I don't think it's saying like she found her family and support group.
But I think that some people think like justice was served at the end of Midsommar. Right, and I do not believe that.
That is definitely misweighted justice of like this guy... I love that movie for this reason. It is a pretty funny, fucked up rom-com for like an hour. Mm-hmm. And then when the stakes change for the people in the movie, they change for the audience as well. Like once the cliff sequence happens, everything kind of flips. And like, and it's one of the few times you're on the exact same
page as the
characters. You're like, this is funny. This is funny. Oh, cool. Oh, weird. This guy's a little weird with the mushroom stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, this is kind of weird. Oh, the whole dinner scene is fucking weird. But like, I wouldn't be able to justify freaking out about it. And then they cut to the cliff scene. You're like, this is weird. Yeah. And I just like this that you take that ride the whole way.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That moment when the opening conversation between the boyfriend and the girlfriend, and he's saying like, yeah, maybe I'll swing by after later. I'm playing video games with the guys doing resin hits. Maybe I'll come by later. She's like, oh, you're going to come over? He's like, maybe I'll keep saying like, maybe I'll stop by it this evening or whatever. And then later on, it's like, he didn't realize it was their 4-year anniversary.
Yikes.
The reveal that they've been together for 4 years. If at 4 years, you're like, I might stop by.
Right.
That is a bad sign.
That's like, you should not be in that relationship.
3 months.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. 4 years. You have to have definite plans,
right?
The only iffy shit.
I feel like you need to push the envelope with these movies and show shitty boyfriends these are the stakes. Like, this is the worst that can happen to you, so don't be bad. You'll be fine.
But like, isn't it funny, like, in that movie at some point you are on the douchebag friend side? Like, I think they do a good job of like, when you're like, yeah, why is he bringing his girlfriend?
Yeah,
because he's a weak man who can't say what he's feeling,
right? But he's also in
much
cartoonish
like the movie we're gonna talk about today.
I'm not gonna bust that segue.
So maybe we should get into the movie we're gonna talk about. I just did that.
Let's
all right, let me just very quickly say, we're talking about Good Will Hunting, came out in 1997, directed by Gus Van Sant. And if I had to sum up the plot, if you haven't seen it, it stars Matt Damon, Minnie Driver, Ben Affleck, Robin Williams. Matt Damon plays basically a Boston hothead janitor, secretly a genius, was abused as a child, and with the help of a therapist, learns how to be vulnerable and tell someone he loves them.
Yes.
That's pretty much the movie. It made over $225 million at the box office, which is insane considering, like, I don't think any dramas make that anymore.
Yeah, no.
Had a $10 million budget, nominated for 9 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, 1-2, Best Supporting Actor, and Screenplay. But it lost in song. You know what it lost to? Miss Misery by Elliot Smith was nominated. It lost to My Heart Will Go On from Titanic.
Well, no one's going to beat that.
That's a fair loss.
Are we fine with that? We're all fine with that. We're
fine with that. To this huge cultural moment.
They lost to Thriller. Okay.
Yeah, we are still talking about My Heart. At the time, I think I was very much like, no, Miss. I was like a big indie rock guy. So
yeah, sure.
Still am. I like my Pitchfork.
I had the Good Will Hunting soundtrack on compact disc.
Me too. That was a good one. But I remember being very upset that Titanic won for that song. Like, that song's so cheesy. And now I've come full circle.
It is so cheesy. And the movie Titanic is so cheesy, but it's so fucking good.
It's great.
Movies can be both cheesy and good. Like,
that's right.
A melodramatic movie. Like, I enjoy melodrama.
Like Big Little Lies. Mm-hmm. It is campy, yet moving at the same time.
Exactly. Exactly. Big Little Lies is a great example. There was recently a movie, and I can't place what I saw, where I was like, that was super melodramatic, but I fucking loved it. And I can't remember. It'll come back to me at some point, but let's... But Big Little Lies is a better example.
Mad Max Fury Road? Is
that what it was? So campy.
So that's like the background. So we asked you to pick a movie, and at first you said Mission Impossible Fallout, so we couldn't do that, because we already did that. Nick Weiger did that already. So what made you...
I saw it with Weiger.
He's seen it like 5 times. I
know. He really liked it. He's not even like that much of a movie-going guy
No,
either.
I don't think so.
It's such a weird.
So, what made you want to pick Good Will Hunting to discuss today?
I thought Good Will Hunting would be, you know what, I was having a hard time with, because I have to watch a movie every week for Action Boys, where I was like, it's something I need to pick something I kind of want to rewatch so that I can be fresh on it. So then I was like, I can't pick a movie that's like a joke. And then I started to think like,
and yet,
but I have like a strong history with it, a strong personal history with
you
this
do.
Movie.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's the first movie I saw multiple times in the theater.
Wow.
And I ended up seeing a total of 3 times in the movie theater.
When you had to pay for movies.
Yes. When I was like 15 or 16 and, probably 15. And then, it just hit me in a way. I always use Good Will Hunting and Fight Club as these movies that are like cinema for dumb dudes.
Gotcha.
You know? And I found like I locked in very hard with Good Will Hunting, where I was like, this is a movie. This is a, I feel it's like all the movies I saw before that were like all comedy.
They were
and they were all my favorite movies. Yeah. Then I see Good Will Hunting and I'm like, oh, I'm extremely touched by this movie that has like one fight scene in it.
You know, like, sure.
That's not exactly lowest amount of fight scenes in a movie for me up to that date. But like, it was just a movie that, and I joke about it, but like, for 15-year-old me, I was like, oh, this is like, like Tiffany said last night, I was like, it's so corny how into this movie I was. She's like, I think this like makes you an interesting child. Like, it seems like you give a shit about something if you like this movie as a kid. And that's sort of how I felt while I was like watching it. I was like, oh, this movie I'm feeling something more so than like that was a cool movie watching that. And it's like, it's about male friendship, no matter what.
Sure.
I do have legendary father issues. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. Legendary. Yeah.
The Mount Rushmore. In the podcast world, it's pretty legendary. So like, I think that was part of the thing that hit me. Like, I do love, I loved Robin Williams at the time. I mean, I still do,
sure.
But like, it was very fun to see him be serious, you know, like, and, I like the idea, like, surprise, surprise. I like the idea of like, this white trash guy is pretty smart.
Yeah.
Surprisingly intelligent is the surprisingly is the only word that ever precedes intelligent when in reference to me. So
when does that happen?
But when it does, it'll be a fucking surprise.
I will be surprised. So how did it hold, like, when was the last time you saw it before like rewatching it?
I haven't seen it in 10 plus years.
Okay.
And how did it hold up for you?
I loved it again.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see how it is corny. It is cheesy. Yeah,
sure.
But I was into it the whole time. I didn't love Minnie Driver when I saw it as a kid. And I thought it was because, and like, as I got older, I was like, oh, that's 15-year-old Gabrus saying, like, this annoying girl is ruining this movie.
Taking him away from his friends.
Exactly. Right, right, like, that's, yeah. I think, how I, and then rewatching it again, like, she is kind of annoying in this movie. She's not funny at all. And
she tells that great gross joke about
that's the best
Irish
part of the movie, but like the accents is, are unnecessary. Her best part of the movie. But the shit, like, I stand by hook, hook, I could dunk, I'm tall, hook, hook, dunk, dunk, when he's like making out with her, is the dumbest part of the movie.
Wow.
I love their cheeseburger kiss.
But she is kind of the whole plot of the movie. She is the arc through which he becomes vulnerable.
Right.
Him being able to tell someone that he loves them and needs them is the whole movie.
Right. But that's wrong to teach that to teach that to young men. They don't need a woman to open them
I
up.
See,
they
I
need
see.
A therapist.
They need bench presses. 285.
285. I know. Yeah. I was like
okay.
But I think that's just like a pissing contest scene, right? Like they're both.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
sure.
is very good for therapists to do with their patients.
Yeah. Well, they're two guys from the old neighborhood.
They go.
Oh,
two old Southie boys.
First.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. So I wrote down a smattering of thoughts as I watched it. I will share them. I hadn't seen this movie in forever. I saw it in the theater. I think we watched this and then snuck in to see As Good As It Gets in the same day.
Oh, what a double feature.
A real double feature. Congratulations first, Gabrus, picking our first Casey Affleck movie. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, there's some layers of problematicism in this.
A few. Negative points for having a batting cage in this movie. I think it's really gross when Stellan Skarsgård asks the student out for a drink. He's like horny for his student.
They show him twice being a sleaze, which I kind of like. Because later on, there's another point where he's just like sitting back talking to like two women when Robin Williams goes up. And I'm like, this is so funny to just like. And he also has like a sycophantic like Smithers type.
Smithers, that's what I wrote. Real life Smithers.
He's like, it's okay. Some people are just lucky.
You should be happy he pays attention to you.
Yeah.
And I thought you could really see how it influenced Elephant. I don't know if anybody's, if you guys seen it, Gus Van Sant's.
Not since I did not know.
Columbine movie.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But like there he has these like gliding shots through these like school hallways that really did feel, and also like the male camaraderie friendship at like, I feel this is almost like his warm up for Elephant.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize at the time, but this movie's all about toxic masculinity and like how to get over it. And like the fucking fist fighting, I would hate hanging out with these guys.
Me too, but yeah. I love the way they film that fist fight on the basketball court. It's really
violent.
It's very violent, but it's the most Gus Van Sant fist fight you can have.
slow motion
and then the fist coming at the camera and stuff. Yeah. I dug that. Hey, Carmine, it's me. Will, you remember me? We went to kindergarten together. the other crazy thing was how much I remembered of the movie. Tiffany was driving her crazy last
just
night.
Like,
I was like, holy shit. I was like, why do I know so many of these lines?
It's a lot of lines.
It's a lot of lines. It's a 2-hour movie.
I forgot the Dem Apple scene is all like, when you realize it's just about so he can brag about getting the girl's number, like, it's gross.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Like, he's kind of treating her like a piece of property?
No, getting the number is genuine.
I think
he wants to double down on the Barney.
I just thought it was gross. Like, if I was Minnie Driver, I'd be like, you did what? You went up and like yelled at a guy through a window that you got my number?
Oh, see, I'm sort of in the camp that guy's such a douchebag that
he
any
does stuff, but don't use her as a weapon.
I don't know if she's been. It didn't occur to me that like that's really insulting to Minnie Driver.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was more just him. Just
if they were like, if him and
Minnie
Driver were holding hands and he walked past that dude and he like winked at him, like that wouldn't be offensive either. Like that's just like that's life.
Fair enough.
There's winners and there's losers, Mark.
That's fair. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That whole sequence with him, he's like, but then I'd have to be unoriginal. Like that whole shit when he just takes him down.
Right.
When he's taking him down in the bar, if anyone is rewatching the movie upon listening to this podcast, when Matt Damon is just breaking down the fucking Michael Bolton lookalike guy, look at the blonde Minnie Driver's friend who's never in the movie again or doesn't even have a line in the sequence, but watch her. she's standing, like, she's falling in love with Matt Damon and with Will Hunting. And it's a really, like, her face is like, as he keeps being smarter and smarter, and she's just like, and then at the end when he goes, well, if you want to keep talking about this, we can go outside. It's like, that's the coolest thing you could be. He's like a full-blown intellectual roasting the guy the whole time. And then he's like, and if you have a problem, I'll also kick your ass.
He's the perfect man.
Yeah, I haven't thought there'd be fucking equations and shit on the wall.
So I like this. I don't think I liked it as much as when I saw it the first time, because I think there are things about it which we'll get into when we get into the scoring. But there are things that maybe haven't aged as well.
Yeah, I can see that. First of all,
do you know what's, that's, I also, and I'm not, I, we haven't even gotten to the specific examples, but I don't think you're allowed to use that of a as a criticism of a movie anymore. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Yeah. I'd love to discuss why things haven't aged well, but I don't think that makes them, like, we don't watch like a black and white movie and be like, this hasn't aged well. It's not even in color, you know?
Sure.
Well, there's the technical aspects, and then there's like that.
But then there's like some shit that happens in, like, I've been watching a lot of, if you watch like 80s and 90s gay panic, every movie is like the gag gay is gay panic. That shit does not age well, but I don't know if we can you retroactively say like, I Love You Man. I mean, I Love You Man is such a bad movie, like, but it's like a funny, like, at the time we all thought it was funny. It's like, it's not that funny anymore, but we wouldn't like but cancel maybe, Paul Rudd and Jason Segel.
No, I don't think anyone's asking to cancel anybody.
Right. But I feel like a lot of people go like, I can't believe, like,
it just shows you like how much the culture has changed and grown, I would say. And also maybe it was like, well, maybe this one shouldn't be at the top of your rewatch list. Maybe there's other things to watch beforehand. Right.
Yeah,
there's,
that's fair. That's a fair way to say it.
Because also, like, I don't think Michael Jackson music has aged well, but like, I found myself accidentally like bopping along into it in a restaurant. And then I was like, oh my God, this is Michael. I didn't realize till, like, a minute in, it was Michael Jackson. Like, once you remember the things that he's done, like, it's hard to enjoy it. Like, the music's still good, but like, once you know the context, it's harder to enjoy.
Casey Affleck ruined this movie for you.
Well, especially now, and like, because I feel like who he is in Good Will Hunt is probably who he really is.
Or who he really was.
But now he's like this like moody piece of shit, like, guy, like, I'm so goth and serious. Like, fuck you, you're a little twerp. Yeah. You're like the perennial little brother, and now you're acting like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. Get over yourself. I hated Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, you did? Oh.
That coat movie? Oh, it's all about the coats. What'd you think of Good Will Hunting, John?
I did not like it when I had not seen it since it came out. I did not like it then. I can't say I like it anymore now.
Oh, wow.
I think it is.
Are we being bat rude, hosts? We ask you to pick a movie.
Come to your house and then shit all over your movie choice.
Luckily, I don't attach my entire identity to a movie I saw when I was 15. Because if I did, I'd be pissed right now.
I mean, I think ultimately it is like emotional pornography for straight guys. Like, it's all about like,
exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you're so smart. You just need people to recognize, and you need like these brilliant people to like help you figure it out and see that about you. And like
it's a sensitive movie for like dumb straight guys. It's like, yeah, that's how, like, and that's why I enjoyed it when I was 15.
Sure. I get that. But like that scene where Matt Damon does dress down. I just want to call him Cyril O'Reilly, because that's who he played in Oz. But that dude's back in the bar.
Oh my God. That's where I recognize him from. He's like the special needs guy, right?
Last time I was watching, we were like, who is that guy? And it was like, someone say this character's name. So I'm scrolling through IMDb. But I was like, there's no way that Matt Damon's character would be able to spew off that monologue. Like, that's that just to me was so absurd. For whatever reason, it took me out of it,
like,
to the point
of
just
the screenwriting.
Like, absolutely. Like, 100%. There's no way that this guy who's just like, oh, whatever, I'm just, you know, polishing the floors, and then I just like happen to, you know, like solve this insane problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it's just like, and I was just like, how does he know all this? Or the fact that he had all this encyclopedic knowledge of so many books and all this stuff. It seemed so unbelievable to me that that character knew all that stuff and could would behave in the way that he behaved, having that knowledge and whatever.
Yeah, he wouldn't be like slightly more woke, for lack of a better term, upon reading all those. Like, he might read all those books and be like, maybe I shouldn't be a demolition worker.
Oh, maybe there is more to the world than South Boston.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there was not like that.
Like, any sense of an inner life.
Yeah.
I guess that's what Robin Williams' monologue is all about. You know the facts, but you haven't lived it.
Right.
I guess, but it's still, I still didn't buy that that character would be able to rattle off all the stuff that he rattled off.
And I'm going to just do some thought experiment work on behalf of the movie.
Please.
Go ahead. A kid who's like, has no one to talk to. And then we do see him read a book at one point when he reads the, when he reads the therapist book and he's flipping the pages like this. Now that again is crazy, but I think it's supposed to give you a little bit of justification as how I think he finds solace in these books and like learning, and he's just, since he was a little kid and he is possibly on the spectrum or something, and he can fly, if he flies through books and reads them all the time, he might be able to spew information. It's funny to me that he's shitting on that guy for just spewing information, but what he's doing is the exact same thing. Right. He just has four more chapters read, which is like a weird stance to take, but I think like, and then Robin Williams, like, dressing down of him of, like, you don't know what the Sistine Chapel smells like.
Right.
Like, I like that moment. But I think, yeah, if you don't buy the conceit that this kid is, you're like, then you're not going to enjoy the movie.
Right.
If you're, like, the whole time, like, this is fake.
Yeah, that to me felt like too big of a leap.
Oh, okay.
I think is what Oldman goes after.
Now, what about a man making a suit out of iron that helps him fly around and fight aliens?
I think because... that people are like, oh, this is a fantasy. Whereas, like, and I think perhaps part of like what maybe I'm being unfair to Good Will Hunting is like, is the fact that so many guys who at the time when it came out, I was like, these guys are all douchebags. She's like, no, that movie's great. Like, that's a brilliant movie. And you're just like, ugh. You know what I mean?
It's that's like, exactly how I feel basic, about it. You know? Is that it was a brilliant movie for dumb people. And that's why I put it with Fight Club, because I think Fight Club did the same thing like a couple years later, where straight guys were like, this is a movie I can like that's art, but I'm not gay for liking it.
Right.
Sure. Yeah,
despite
absolutely.
Wild, the male relationships in both movies are weirdly skewed.
Right.
For straight very guys gay. To be like, this movie's straight. There's one woman in it.
Yeah, she keeps it from being a sausage fest.
Right.
I have a couple questions for you guys.
All sure. Right, let's
do you
it.
Think this is an accurate portrayal of therapy?
No.
Good Will Hunting?
I don't think any movie or TV show has been an accurate portrayal of therapy.
In Therapy with the HBO Gabriel show? Byrne.
That I did not see that.
Watch that.
That's where good. Like five
in
episodes
in
a week.
Treatment. In Treatment. Yeah, it's based on like the Israeli series or whatever.
Yeah, it's great. Because it takes its time to like, this is like Matt Damon like goes from 0 to 60 and 100. If he just repeat, it's not your fault, it's not your fault, it's going to have a breakthrough. And then he says thank you at the end of it.
Yeah. Well, there is like... how much time has passed in that movie is the question.
Don't they say it's like 2 weeks or a month? Or
it doesn't seem like it's that long.
If he meets him once a week and 1 week is completely silent and another week is completely like, I think there it's not. I'm defending this movie completely arbitrarily.
Please.
Now, too. I'm just
that's
decided
what
we're all
doing
for.
That's what you should do. That's your job.
But yes, the therapy makes no fucking sense in this movie. Also, Will's reaction to it doesn't even make sense. Like I get not, I get thinking like hypnotism is corny or the guy when he calls out the guy for being gay.
Right.
George Clinton.
Like, do you find it hard to hide the fact that you're gay? They treat being gay like you're being like a wizard or like you're a vampire or like some mythical crazy thing to be gay. Like, is it weird to be gay? Fuck you.
I mean, to that though, I will say in South Boston in the early 90s, I'm sure that's probably it was believable.
This kid never read Oscar Wilde and all his books. He never read
Well, that's
any
the other thing that drives me crazy.
For Isherwood?
Is shit like that, where it's like, do you only read math and science?
Yeah.
Right.
You fucking nerd.
Yeah.
Do you know in that scene in the party store when he throws the caramels behind us, do you think he cleans them up?
I think he does.
Or
does Minnie Driver?
He has Minnie Driver pick him up? Wow.
I hate that scene in the candy store, too.
Well, you don't like Minnie. I thought she was pretty good in this.
I think she's pretty good. Them falling in love, he's so closed off to her that
constantly.
She's falling in love with his like caramel gag and like like what is she like? I don't understand what she's getting out of this relationship. at any moment,
just a child,
right? Yeah, she's like,
he's a hot child who can help me do my crosswords.
Yeah, he's 20 and like he's in like a ripped t-shirt and he's throwing caramels on the floor, and she's like, "This is the guy. I'm gonna fuck this dude."
He's the one.
I mean, I guess she's a college girl who
she's allowed to make
who
mistakes.
Has no dad and
also
dad
like if
life.
It's just fucking that guy,
Sure. Right. Yeah. But when she said, come to California with me, yeah, yeah. I was like,
that's pretty quick.
That's pretty, I mean, I get it for the sake, for the premise of the movie.
Right.
But like, at the same time, if I'm Will, I'd be like, no. But in order for it to completely match Robin Williams' love story, sure. he's got to do it.
Do you think, I thought when, in the first time Robin Williams meets Will Hunting, he chokes him. And don't you think if you were that therapist, you would think, maybe I shouldn't see this this patient because he's triggering something in me?
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's insane to like physically choke a patient and then it's like, well, I'll see you next week. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Having a restraining order.
Yeah, I think that is, they brush that under like the rules of Southie. It's like, he crossed the line. Right. He had to
But isn't technically Robin Williams not a therapist, but he teaches therapy?
I guess
he teaches
therapy. Not a therapist anymore. He's not, since his wife got sick. He used to counsel vets.
But still, if you respect the process.
That's true.
It's an insane situation.
What should have happened is that scene on the park bench should have happened there instead of him choking him.
Yes.
At the end of his first session, like, oh yeah, you come in here, you think you know all the stuff, but you don't really, like, I think that to me would make sense.
Well, yeah. Also, if you're like a kid who's been abused his whole life and then an older man chokes you.
Right, yeah.
Therapist, like, but I also wonder if that locked in like the power dynamic for that relationship too, in a negative way.
I guess,
way.
But it would have been nice for them to show a different way to assert power and authority.
Yeah, but I think that scene is wild that even like Stellan Skarsgård be like, yeah, we should bring him back based on this.
Yeah, right.
But I also think that's to show how similar Sean and Will are.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, you're supposed to like be like, and then you hear later on when Sean tells the story of being abused as a kid, it's like they had very similar lives. Right. South Boston.
And anytime Sean says bah, that's the only time you hear the Boston accent is when I was in the bar.
God. Like, yeah, you want me to put my cards back on the table? It's like,
it's like, oh yeah, he's from Boston.
They do get each other.
Oh, and is this the first movie on Two Old Queens to feature the term of endearment chief 11 times?
probably.
Good chance. Lots of chiefs in
Manhattan.
Sports.
Mother take Manhattan 9 to 5. Had a lot of
chiefs.
Chief sport, like a lot of that like condescending dad shit, which was really funny.
Nasty. Do you think this movie would be better if it didn't have the genius subplot? Like, if he was just a kid from, a troubled kid from Southie who had potential, maybe, but like just had to go see a therapist and still had his same arc, but maybe without the genius, because somehow the geniusy thing, and like in earlier drafts of the script, he ended up being like a super spy.
Yeah,
he was the CIA wanted to like hire him to crack. I think that they needed more of that, because to me it made no sense why Skellen Skarsgård, what is it?
Skarsgård.
Why he was so much like, no, we can't give up on this kid.
Right.
And if there was something of like, oh no, there's money to be, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, or some sort of pressing equation or pressing contest.
I didn't get why that his attention was so strong on this kid.
Yeah. I think they try to explain that to you later on in the movie when Stellan says, like, it breaks his heart that everything Will does is what he dedicated his life to, and Will can do it so simple. Like when he lights Stellan Skarsgård is having like the most positive reaction you can have to someone who's 40 years you're younger and way better at what you do. Like, he's choosing to support him in that moment. I think in the premise of the movie makes sense in that, like, holy shit, I'm just such a fan of math that this guy has to do it.
Right. Like, I get that.
But at the same time, like,
I'm going to take you to 3 therapists. I'm going to do this. I'm going to like dedicate all of this to you. It's like,
have you ever had that when you like see someone like smoke a lot of weed and you're like, wow, they're smoking so much more than I ever did. Like, not like a young person.
Gravity bonds you have.
Yeah.
Oh, these tinctures and edibles you kids have today.
Have I ever seen a young comedian come around and be funnier and more successful than me? No.
Oh, no. Okay. This is Joel Queens.
I'm okay.
Great. Well, now we're going to get into the scoring round. All right. We got a bunch of scoring categories and then a bunch of them have been created by our guests. So we're going to go through all those. And then at the end, you will add a category, which will then become canon. And we will carry on through
every movie henceforth will then have this level.
Okay. So it's going to be the average of the three of us.
And the score is from 0 to 100.
Correct. First category, homoeroticism.
Ooh.
How would you score Good Will Hunting on homoeroticism?
I would say 65.
Okay.
What are you basing that on?
The camaraderie.
We don't even see his butt.
You don't even see his butt, but I think like there's underlying homoeroticism to roughhousing and
ballyhoo.
They're all obsessed with the fact that Casey Affleck is cranking off in Ben Affleck's mom's house.
That was weird.
It's really weird that they're not playing brothers in this movie. It's like, okay, if
it's so bizarre.
Be,
yeah. Like, no, why not be brothers?
Why not be brothers? Like, there are friend groups like that.
Yeah. Right. And he is the classic little brother of the group.
And the character is, he's like a little brother, and they look alike.
Yeah.
But I think there's that element of just like broiness that lends itself closer and closer to homoeroticism.
Sure.
But do you mean like, I guess I don't fully understand what the category means.
How homoerotic would you say?
How much do you think it's like meant to be like, hey boys?
Yeah.
Oh, like
if Brokeback Mountain is 70, what is Good Will Hunting?
Okay, so Good Will Hunting is not 65. If Brokeback Mountain is 70,
you get to use whatever score you want.
Because
you
have to readjust my score to 40.
Okay.
40. All right.
I think I will say, yeah, there's not a lot of homoeroticism. It feels more like, I'm going to give it a 25.
25.
I mean, like, it was like when the movie first started, I was like, oh my God, look at how young they are.
Right.
But I also still, I've never, like, I acknowledge and recognize that Matt Damon is a very attractive man. I've never been attracted to him. I would say I'm more Ben Affleck, although at this one I was like, he looks just like Vanilla Ice this entire movie.
Yeah. I'm into bearded kind of overweight Ben Affleck more than any.
What movie is that?
Like a Gone Girl Ben Affleck?
Like a Gone Girl Ben Affleck. Uh-huh. A Batman Ben Affleck.
Sure. CrossFit Batman.
CrossFit Batman. Tires and chains Batman.
Sure.
I can recognize him. Matt Damon is attractive, but he's never done that for me. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's really done it for me. I think having Gus Van Sant behind the camera certainly does lend this a certain, it makes it more homoerotic than this would have been in like someone else's hands.
Right.
Mel Gibson was in the run. It was going to maybe direct it for a while.
Directed.
Yikes.
Mel Gibson, Casey Affleck. This movie would have been a fucking
fight
powder
scenes would have been 30. Yeah.
Poor Mini Driver. Ever liking
poor,
it.
Poor Mini Driver.
Mini
happened.
Driver, January 31st birthday, like yours truly.
Oh. And it was also, this was a Weinstein production.
Oh, right.
That's right.
So.
And Kevin Smith is a producer.
He's fine, right? I don't know.
Yeah. You can dislike him for taste, but I don't think
he's done anything
he's
terrible.
Not a bad person.
No. We love.
I don't think he's raped women.
Kevin Smith, View Askew Averse fans here.
I am
sure. I don't know. It's not very homoerotic. I think there's like some. Not Cole Hauser is very hot in this movie.
Yeah, he's
her blonde friend who's stoic.
Who's just hungover the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, I love when he says it's a good engine. It's a good engine. When
it's good.
I was like, ooh, that's pretty good.
Tell me more about this.
Tell me more about this.
How does this engine purr?
Like Matt Damon works. The floor waxer, like that shot really well. It looks like the first 2 minutes of a porno.
Right.
But overall, not very homoerotic. I'm gonna give it a 20.
All righty.
That gives an average of 28.33.
Okay.
All right. Actual gay characters on a scale of 1 to 100.
I think you gotta give
George Plimpton?
Yeah, I'm saying George.
I don't think he's gay in
it, though.
I think he is.
He in real life
is
not gay.
George Plimpton. That's just
he's
who
just
he
being
is.
George Plimpton.
He's just an old man from.
No, I think he's gay in the movie. I think that the character he's playing is gay. And I think that's why he's like so like
I'm
too busy for this. I'm too busy for this.
And like crazy person.
I think he's closeted. Yeah, I think we're.
So Matt,
in the world of the movie, we're supposed to believe that Matt Damon
Will Hunting
picked up on that
amazing gaydar as well as part of his genius intellect.
Sure. I think he put him on his heels so much by calling him gay that it makes me feel like a therapist should be able to handle that. Unless of course they're
maybe even more
triggered as well.
Then?
Yeah, possibly.
Because if he's maybe also has suffering from toxic masculinity,
right.
How dare you? He's just like a stuffy East Coast professor. I thought,
and no stuffy East Coast professors
are gay.
Ever gay.
No, never happened.
I believe him to be the only gay character.
And he's treated so well.
Wait,
though.
No, there's two.
Wait, who's
the other
one?
Smithers.
Oh, yeah,
that's true.
He's probably. Yeah. And probably the hypnotist.
Yes, maybe the hypnotist. Like, name's thought, Fabricio or something.
Yeah. And just also how he's shot, like, with his, like, finger, his hand, like, on his finger on his temple as he's, like, gazing at Matt Damon lying on a couch. Like, Gus Van Sant, you're not doing us any favors.
Right.
That's true. When I jerk off, I have one hand on my dick, one hand on my temple.
Because you jerk off like Professor X.
Yes.
Cerebro.
Thank you, Cerebro.
Cerebro, pull up gay for petty. Bait bus, Cerebro.
So what are you going to give it? 1 to 100 of actual gay character.
I'm going to give it a 15.
15?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 5 per character I assume to be gay.
I'll give it a 10 just for the Smithers and the hypnotist. Okay, I do not believe
the average will be 10.
The average will be 10. This is our fourth move, number 4 in terms of actual gay characters. Pretty good. Camp factor 0 to 100. How campy is Good Will Hunting?
I have a hard time defining camp. I figure while I have the two old queens here, can you help me understand camp?
Oh, boy.
Well, because it is like one of those things that's hard to explain.
It's like porno, you know when you see it.
Right.
I think like there's a few different aspects of camp. Like there's unintentionally funny, unintentionally like gay or queer, but then there's also
like a tongue-in-cheekness. Like,
yeah, but then there's also an earnestness that is maybe only exclusively of interest to gay people. In a way.
Has there been any recent campy?
I mean, like the last season of Big Little Lies was like almost all camp.
Yeah.
That was pretty campy.
I mean, it is funny, but it's like everything's like a little pitched up higher than reality.
Right.
It's like more like soapy. Like, have you ever seen a Pedro Almodovar movie?
Yes.
That, a lot of that's campy.
Okay, because of like heightened emotions.
Everything John Waters.
Like arbitrarily heightened emotions.
Right, but it could also be intentional, but then sometimes there's also unintentional camp.
I think intentional camp,
like a Serenity,
is less
unintentional camp.
Right.
Yeah, I feel for me, there's an element with camp where it's like, oh, your attachment to something, your like commitment to something is out of proportion in such a huge way to what it actually would be.
Okay, I can get that.
But I think when you are doing that intentionally, to me, it's less campy. Like, it's more like someone who's just like, yeah, I'm so like they over, like something is so important or so crazy, or the reaction is so over the top where it feels like, oh, that's again like disproportionate or just like out of a scope of what it actually would be.
Have you ever seen someone throw a drink on a Real Housewives show?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Real Housewives as an example of like the energy of campiness.
Sure.
Yes. So like if that's in a movie that is not necessarily about the subject matter of Real Housewives. When I think camp, I think John Waters, which I think is correct, but I can't really articulate why John Waters, and like if that, then what else is, extrapolate that out to other movies. That's the hard part for me. I think I could recognize that there's almost no camp in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think this is almost anti-camp.
Yeah. It's
the opposite
of
camp.
Boringly straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a question, and I don't know if there is a correct answer to this. If camp is one end of a spectrum, what's the other end of that spectrum? Like
documentaries?
Yeah, maybe like overt
realism,
like, realism, grounded sincerity, I guess, like
naturalism.
No levity.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, naturalism. Yeah. That's a good, like mumblecore.
Yes, that's like the opposite of camp.
Yeah, maybe.
Anything where like a movie where people like in the mud and depressed and eating rocks. Angela's Ashes? No, that's probably campy.
Anything by Samuel Beckett.
Yeah.
Like the Duplass brothers make non-campy stuff, right?
Yeah. Although Creep. Did you ever see Creep?
I love Creep.
Two men in a cabin in the woods.
I should have picked a different movie.
Yeah. Orson Scott Card, anti-camp.
Yes, not camp. Mark is saying that because I'm assuming one of the books.
That's all your Ender's Game. He's deeply problematic.
He's wildly problematic. And it's even
Ender's Game. Great book, though.
Great book. And touches on, like, I didn't fully understand. And then you read his beliefs. Like, there were some weird moments in the book that you're like, there's a lot of shower scenes.
Maybe the lady doth protest too much.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, these are kids showering and fighting and bleeding.
Right. Anyways, I'll get back to reading it.
Finally, something that doesn't feature children getting the train run on them.
Do you want us to give a camp score first and then you come in at the end?
I'm going to give it a 4 in camp out of 100.
Yeah, that's fair. John,
I'll give it maybe a 2. If even.
It does have Elliot Smith on the soundtrack.
Okay.
But I don't think that's campy.
Is that camp because it's just so depressing?
It is depressing. He had an iconic death.
Right.
Stab himself in the chest. He's got that wall in Silver Lake that's now a restaurant. That's camp.
Oh, it's 100.
That averages out to 52. Yeah.
What are you giving it, John?
I gave it a 2, I believe.
I gave it a 4.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I don't know what is... I'm giving it a 0. This is the first time I've given it a 0.
Giving anything
well,
a 0?
Good Will Hunting, you are officially our least campy movie ever made. You know what's campier than Good Will Hunting? Hoosiers. Hoosiers is twice as campy as Good Will Hunting.
Who did Hoosiers?
Lennon Parham.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great fucking movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. It was a great movie. I really liked it. Makeover montage, 0 to 100. Was there ever a makeover, like a montage scene where, you know, someone goes to a mall and like there's a fun, you know,
would you say that a montage of going to different therapists is an attempt at an internal makeover?
If there was like one song going, like if Katrina, Katrina and the Waves over it, you know what I mean?
Like, don't
Black
it feel
magic
good?
Woman.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I gotta go with a 0 here.
A lot of movies get 0s in this category. Okay. You know who got 100? 9 to 5.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love that movie, too.
John, what would you give?
I'll give it a 0 as well.
Yeah, I don't think there is one, right?
No.
Great soundtrack, though. One of Danny Elfman's better scores, I think.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I thought that it made no sense with this movie.
The Tin Whistle. It's Boston. It's Irish.
I changed my mind. I thought it just seemed so tonally off.
Oh, I like the sweetness.
I liked that it was Elliot Smith and Danny Elfman. It was like a real like yin and yang.
Next category. All right. This is our first of our guests curated. This is Jenny Pearson's Over the Top Wardrobe.
Okay. Ben Affleck might add some juice to this. Now, is it because he's over the top as hetero as it gets? Does that count though?
Yeah. It's however you interpret the category. Oh, so
okay. All right. So I'm going to give Over the Top Outfits. I'm going to give it a 20 based on 20. Ben Affleck's tracksuits. And any depiction of like a Boston dude with one of those little driver's caps.
Just like, what is with those pants that with the snaps
so
all the way up?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is that because they rip them off?
Yeah. They're like, they're called warm up pants. Like you wear them on the sideline of something. Like if you're playing basketball, that's famous, like what they're from. You're playing basketball, you get called in, you can rip your pants off and get out.
Because you only have seconds?
Sometimes. But really, it's just.
You don't want to stop it. Yeah.
It's like a stripper move, though.
Oh, yeah. And also, they were popular when I was in like high school and you could not wear them to school because bullies would rip them off.
Oh, sure.
When you say bullies, do you mean you would rip them off?
In moments of bullying.
We all have our dark moments. John, what are you going to give this Over the Top Wardrobe?
Yeah, I think based on all of Ben Affleck's wardrobe, and then Matt Damon had a lot of like really 90s baggy pants. I'll give it a 10.
Oh, yeah. 10. There's a scene where he's kind of slouching, talking to his khakis.
A tent.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Jesus, because Van Zandt directed this movie.
Yeah, right.
Make no mistake.
Goodwill tenting. I'm surprised neither of you have mentioned Stellan Skarsgård's wardrobe. He was
scarfed.
He scarfed a lot.
He looked like Doctor Who.
He was scarfed up pretty frequently. Yeah.
So I thought he was pretty wild. I loved his like erudite math professor look. Mm-hmm. A lot of long scarves.
Over the top math professor look.
Over the top. I thought his look was pretty wild. I'm going to give it 17.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Next category from Tony Charlene. Does it hold up? 1 to 100.
Oh, okay. I would say this movie doesn't hold up content wise and like, but it does hold up.
Acting's great.
Yeah, I was gonna say it holds so up in works. Like it succeeds, and it's fun to see young Damon, young Affleck, and see that they are, and young Driver, see that they are good actors.
Right.
So I say it holds up in that way. I fucking cried through the "It's not your fault" moment, like, and the "Son of a bitch stole my line" is still a great fucking ending to a movie.
Robin Williams ad-libbed that.
Yeah. Also, Robin Williams ad-libbed the farting story.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And
oh,
you really? See in the scene, the camera is shaking because the cameraman's laughing. And that's why Will is
actually laughing.
Yeah, he's like breaking hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like the walk the dog up thing was completely riffed. And,
oh, wow.
And Matt Damon broke. And then you see the cameraman when he's shooting Robin Williams, it's like vibrating.
I was rewatching this. I was like, this is my reminder. I was like, Robin Williams, would he have been in the Marvel universe? Like, who would he have played?
Oh, they would have forced him into the
Riddler. So I think he would have to be a villain.
I think he could have been Mr. Fantastic. fantastic.
Oh yeah,
give him like a person who could like shapeshift and change, like make him just like,
well, it's like a genie. It's like the genie.
Yeah. But, I know, but now it's real.
Right, right.
And not
Will
Smith.
It's real. Yes, now he's really shapeshifting.
I thought it'd be fun.
So does it hold up? I give it a 36.
Wow, that seems like so it doesn't harsh hold up for you.
Oh, is that because it holds? It doesn't hold up in like. If that movie came out now, people would be
it
like,
would never
what
come out
fuck?
Now. Like, yeah. Who is this for?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it would be for 15-year-old straight kids who right. think that they're smart and sensitive.
Right.
Which is what I was. So it hit me like right in the heart.
I'm sure you were smart and sensitive.
Well, yeah, I was. I believed myself to be a little bit, but you wouldn't ever want to like talk about that.
Well, all right, but before you give your definitive score, I'll say this. So here's what I'm thinking for myself. I didn't like it when it came out. I didn't like rewatching it. I'm fine with rewatching. I'm not mad that I had to rewatch it. But I feel like there's a way in which like, oh, it is hold up. Like it is held up. Like it is still the same movie. I don't look at it differently.
Oh,
so
right.
In that way, I think I will give it a high score because I think like, oh, it is, it doesn't, I don't know. For me, it doesn't feel that different as opposed to like.
Right. And I have different tastes now, I guess is what it is. So it's not necessarily, it doesn't hold up.
Right.
It just seems different to me now. I guess though, also if I loved it as a kid and I really enjoyed watching it last night, I guess that holds up better than 40 for me. What do you think, Rennie? Give me some numbers.
Me? I think there's a lot of it that I forgot happened. Like there's some, like just treating gayness as like a weird thing was really gross, which I understand is reflective and true of the time, but also shut up.
Did you see mid-90s by any chance?
I didn't.
You didn't.
I understand there's a lot of like faggot and like all that stuff.
That's why I'm just curious as someone who, like I watched it and it stood out as awful to hear that much, but it also rang
was like, oh,
insanely
that is so true. Right.
Yeah. So I just was curious as someone who, I mean, I was called faggot all through high school.
Sure.
Too, but it didn't hit me as hard as maybe some other people were being called that. But so I was just curious. When you do see mid-90s, I should have picked mid-90s for this. Because I thought I was trying to pick one of the straighter movies I'm a fan of.
I think you chose the straightest.
Yeah. I know what I'm doing. You know?
And I felt like
I'm the straightest guy I know. Mostly because of my friends.
Yeah, we have a lot of contrast. I thought the "it's not your fault, it's not your fault" was so silly to me, because like, what is he doing? Is it just say it's not your fault that you were abused? Like, what's this like trick you're doing? What is this like hokey mantra you're
throwing?
Do
you think it feels hokier to you now? Because I feel like that moment
has been
very
parodied a lot.
Also, but I was like, it wouldn't work. Like, I don't think that he's not just going to crumble because you keep saying it's not your fault.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's true.
I'm
feel
just
like there are times.
Rang it, to me.
Okay. And I was
false.
Just having a discussion.
Go on.
Go on. I interrupted. Go on.
I do think like in therapy, there can be moments where like, or just in life where like a thing, someone can say to you, which is sort of pedestrian or not that revolutionary that can hit you in a way that
it sure can.
That part of it didn't ring untrue to me.
Yeah. No, it's still
it
like,
felt
peak
like a movie
emotional
to me.
Bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a movie.
This movie is a movie. You know, it's like, there's a sequence where it's like, that's the guy that used to beat me up in high school. It's like, come on, we back each other up no matter what. We're boys. And then, din, 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 din. You know, like, it's so movie-esque at points.
It's your birthday. We bought you a car.
Yeah. My other favorite movie line is like, you know why any one of these juiced up gorillas, as you call them, would take a fucking bat to your head on behalf of them. That's called loyalty. That's like the most bro-y. It's like, the other version is in The Town when the version of like male friendship is like, I need your help. You can ask no questions and it's going to get dangerous. And then Jeremy Renner just stands up and goes, let's go. Like that's like bro friendship is what we believe.
I like that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I love that shit too. Like, but like I'm watching this movie like, yeah, if I'm ever going to get in a fist fight, my boys better back me up. I'm like, I don't think I had this exact life.
I know. Well, also, think of the boys who would be
nowadays.
Yeah.
I almost got in a fight after a nephew rehearsal one time, from a guy who like blew a red light, and I like he pulled his car over into Gelson's, and
I was with
Brad Evans and Leanne Bowen, and I was just like, and this guy's like, "Hey, asshole!" And I look at the two of them, I'm like, "Oh boy,
solo flying on this one."
I'm like, "Leanne, you got me."
She would, I bet. She's scrappy.
I'm almost positive she would have. Yeah, I defused the situation by calling my. He's like, "Hey, you fat fuck! What were you saying to me?" I was like, "I was letting you know that you went." Two things. Let you know you were going through the red light. You almost hit a jogger. And secondly, fine. I am a fat fuck. And he like started laughing and he goes, I'm pretty fat too. got in his car and like left. But he went through the light at Bronson. I screamed, hey, asshole. He pulled into Gelson's. We were walking into Gelson's. He got out of his car, didn't pull into a parking spot, just pulled into a parking lot, jumped out of his car and started walking towards me. And I was like,
hey. He went into Gelson's, bought a pint of ice cream.
He's like, I am a fat fuck.
I'm going to give, does it hold up? I'm going to give it a 50.
Okay. Then I'm going to give it a 65.
All right.
I'm gonna switch. You know what? 40. I'm going to give it a 70.
Ooh. Wow, John.
Interesting, because does it hold up, or are you saying it holds down?
I think it, I guess I feel like watching it today, it felt like the same movie that I saw when I saw it, when it came out.
And it's a strong time capsule, too. It doesn't, absolutely. You know, it's pretty, it's not contemporary in any way. Like, the way everyone dresses in the cars and everything looks like it's old and shitty.
And all the stuff I liked is all, like, the Gus Van Sant, like, the woman who owns the party store, like, just this little old lady. Like, there's just, like, interesting faces scattered throughout. Yeah. And he chose, like, interesting character actors for some of those parts.
I love the... Hey, how come I couldn't get on you last night? What's your little Tootsie Roll dick?
Like, I wanted more of those girls. Remember the Sisters in the Fighter? Like, those are like, where's their movie?
I would love to watch that.
All right. Here's our next category from Dhruv Uday Singh.
Hell yeah.
Drag queen inspiration. Was anything a drag queen could watch? Like, maybe Stellan's, Robin Williams is
like
there.
Sean McGuire, like wearing a tweed coat and like.
As a dress?
Having like, very hairy forearms.
Yeah, maybe
that weird hat he wears on the bench scene. There's no drag inspiration.
No,
I mean there's maybe drag inspiration, but that's the drag show I'm not as excited to see.
I mean that would be.
Although Ben Affleck, like.
Yeah, but that still, to me, feels more drag king. Like, I could see drag king going sort of Vanilla Icy.
Yeah, you'd have to go.
No one's dressing like
Minnie
Driver.
Am I allowed to say Butch?
You can
How
say Butch.
Dare you? Get out of here.
You would have to go like, oh, I'm dressing up as like a butchy queen.
Butch queen.
And then do like that Katie Lang flat top that Ben Affleck's rocking.
Sure.
And then wear like a full jumpsuit. But that is
But
a
it
stretch.
Is weird to be a man be like, I'm going to be a woman who's besting up as a woman.
I think you could
It's like wearing a pantsuit. You're like, okay, yes, women wear pantsuits. But really.
But when we're going drag, we're aiming for heightened.
We're really leaving stuff on the table.
There's a world where a drag queen could start her number, dressed as a janitor. She sees a chalkboard, solves the formula, and it's like, the answer is like 69. And then she goes into like
then
a
spins
dance
like
techno
Wonder
remix
Woman.
Yeah, of Misery.
She turns around and like Elliot Smith song plays. And the janitor one piece falls off. And she's like a beautiful,
and she's
got a graduation gown.
Right. Or the most beautiful Dunkin' Donuts gown you've ever seen.
A lot of Dunkin'.
I noticed that more this time, all the Dunkin' Donuts.
There was one scene where he was decidedly drinking Pete's coffee, and it was like, oh, he's in a different part of town.
He's in Cambridge.
Yeah,
which is really funny. Like, the Southie guys drink Dunkin', when you're in Harvard, I guess Pete's is the
you
closest.
Pete's.
Oh, just FYI, in Does It Hold Up category, Good Will Hunting is our lowest scoring category.
Really? Wow.
Sorry to bring everybody right after. What about Bob?
Oh, that holds up.
66.67.
Ooh.
So drag queen and spray, what score are you going to give it?
Five. I give it two.
The only move I've ever given a 0-2 in this was Hoosiers. But the more you gave it a two,
the more I think
a creative drag queen can find inspiration anywhere. Doesn't mean the audience is going to like it or understand
it. But to me, I think with this category, for me, it's like, as an audience member, could I see and be like, oh my God, you're doing Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, right.
I guess you have to do like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Sure. My fault.
It's such a shame that you will never do drag.
Don't say that.
Don't say never.
Can we edit that part out where he says, I'll never do drag just in case?
Sure.
A year from now.
Yeah. 3 weeks from now.
if I can lip sync, which
sure,
and I can be very good with roasting people and like audience interaction.
That's half of it.
And I feel like I feel like I'd be decent at drag.
Could you do it in heels though?
But the thing is, I don't like to even wear a lot of men's clothes. Like,
you know, like a muumuu or something.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a gown. You could be like a dowdy queen.
Yeah.
Divine.
I'm going to dress like a female CrossFitter.
Perfect.
Just a sports bra.
So what did you, wait, did you say what you gave it?
I gave it a 5.
5, okay.
So that gave it an overall score of a 4. Caper music, Mark Sam Rosenthal came up with that. How are we scraping this in terms of caper music?
Oh, okay. I got to say the Elfman stuff could be used for like a whimsical caper.
Like we're stealing the berries from the leprechauns.
But I don't think you can pull off caper music with Elliot Smith. Like, you'd be like, hey, where's our backup?
Maybe stealing heroin. Yeah.
The guys in the van are in a garage running the van.
Yeah.
Caper music. I'll give it 15 for the Elfman stuff. But does it need to have a specific caper sequence? No, right?
No, it's whatever just caper it music.
Yeah. So some of these categories aren't even necessarily... on a gayness scale either.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I mean, ultimately, hopefully, I mean, that's the science behind this. Like, right. You know, by tabulating all these categories.
Figure out how gay this movie is. I'm going to give it a... I think I'll give it a 2. Just because I don't think the Elfman music fit.
I think the Elfman music is great, but is it caper music? Absolutely not. I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
I mean, you could do something to the... What's the... there's some that saxophone song... That's on the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's the fist fight song.
Oh,
yeah, I forget what it's called.
Next category, teamwork. Lennon Parham suggested how much teamwork is in this movie.
Oh, I'm going to have to give
this. Pretty good.
I'm going to have to give this 80.
Yeah.
A lot of teamwork, a lot of group fist fight. They got his back throughout the whole thing. He's got Affleck's back when Barney roasts him. And then Stellan Skarsgård, and the moment when they're both doing the equations and like crossing shit off together, like that's so funny to see. Like these are men bonding, and they're like
over math.
Yeah, I'll give it whatever I said it was already.
What did you say? 80?
80.
You did say 80. I have to say another monologue that I was like, come on, was Ben Affleck's like, the best part of my day is when I pull up and I'm waiting for you to come out, hoping that you won't be there. That was another one that I was like, shut.
That doesn't feel authentic coming from Ben Affleck's character, but I did appreciate like the sentiment. The first half of it when he's like, any one of these guys would kill to have what you have, feels like the impulse that's better than I want you gone without saying goodbye.
Right. That's when like see the screenwriting.
Yeah. Hey, it's their first movie.
They're trying.
All right. We need to talk about that. I will give it a 20.
I mean, I think this does have a lot of team with his friends going into a fist fight together. Sure. Ben Affleck goes into a pitch, his job interview for him.
Retainer!
So weird.
His outfit is amazing. Oh, that's over the top wardrobe. Yeah, that's sure. He's got like loafers.
Where he got that. Yeah.
So I think this does pretty good with teamwork. I'll give it a 40. All right. Brian Gallivan suggested the next category. How likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
Ooh, okay. That's a good question. You're going to get that down to about 25. And solely because of GSV. GVS.
You would have to lay so much track before recommending this movie.
Right, yeah.
Do you like movies? Are you okay with things that maybe don't
How
age
do you
well?
Feel about Matt Damon and Ben Affleck? Do you think they're cute? Okay. You might want to watch this
and
with
I,
the sound
I think
off.
Gus Van Sant nudges it a little bit in that direction, but I think you're right.
Are you a Gus Van Sant completist? Well,
you need to watch Good Will Hunting. Here's one you got to see. The Bros.
You've already seen his Psycho for some reason, but you haven't seen Good Will Hunting.
Why did he even make that movie?
Because he could, I guess, and we had to watch it.
We did not have to watch it. I haven't watched
it. Mark had a difficult childhood.
My father forced me.
I understand the Psycho as just sort of like an experiment, but it also seems like, I guess.
It feels weird to like.
Well, it's like the new Lion King, same thing. Like you're doing the same movie, but worse.
No, because wasn't with Psycho? Wasn't he just like it's like he didn't add anything? Like wasn't that
was a shot for shot?
A shot for shot.
He adds like weird shots of like during the shower. He adds like a shot of like a buffalo getting slaughtered. He does like weird montagey shit here and there.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
And also, it's in color, but it's also worse.
Yeah. That's such a weird choice to just like do a shot for. I hate I haven't seen Aladdin or Lion King or anything. And
it's their highest grossing animated film of all time.
I can't believe
the new Lion King.
The new Lion King. It's already outgrossed Frozen.
Wow. Jesus.
Well, that's like Beyonce in it.
Dark days.
Dark days.
Just redub the original with the fucking new upper.
Or just make it look animated, but like in a Pixar style or something.
Right, right. Yeah, just try something.
Just try something. Anything new. Anything. Just make it colorful and fun. Is it so
goddamn
hard?
Why should they do that? They've now made money than they've ever had.
Right. It's just like Lion King reminds me of like those like douchey like Guido guys that you see like who are like and straight guys and you're like they're only acting like someone does fuck them like you know like sure. some women are validating these guys' behavior and it's like right. we want to be like stop making movies like this and we're sorry we keep giving you millions like,
yeah
you're like want to look to your fellow people and be like stop watching this
right
stop fucking this guy he needs to change his behavior
stop going to Yoshinoya Rice Bowl yeah. We don't need this stop letting this happen. What score are you going to give it? How likely would you be to recommend this to a gay person?
I'll give it a 10. There's a way in which it's like, oh, it's like, even though I don't like the movie, it's like also one of those things of like, it gets referenced a lot. People like, you know, like it's good to sort of just know it in a way.
And Robin Williams like, is great in it. It who? Did Robin yeah, Williams.
He's
like,
great.
It's almost like aggressively hetero, this movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not very.
A dude does everything for a girl.
Did you hear? I heard a story where when they were first like pitching the movie around, like the screenplay, they wrote in the middle of it like a sex scene between the two main characters to see who read it.
Yeah.
And Harvey Weinstein 60, was the only person, yeah. was the only guy who was like, that weird sex scene between you guys need
the
to cut
two professors.
No, it was, no, it was them.
Matt and Ben.
Oh, I read it was the two professors.
Oh, but, yeah. That would make more sense.
But that's also, yeah, like, so what if there was? Like, would any, I wouldn't have been shocked if Matt Damon and Ben Affleck had a sex scene in the middle of this movie.
Right.
And
but I think I would have been like, that's a different movie. Yeah. This movie has become something else now.
Yeah. It's a more interesting movie.
I don't think Ben Affleck then says, the best part of my day is walking up to your door and hoping you're not there.
Yeah.
If they are
that's
fucking.
A very different movie.
That's the best part of my day is walking up to your door and saying, it's the time you asked me to come in and fuck you.
Yeah. I put my dick through the mail.
America ready to run on Duncan.
Yeah. Here's some spunk mail. I'm going to give this a 7. Unlikely. Yeah. So currently our least likely. Okay, here's the scoring for recommended to gays. Good Will Hunting has an average of 14. The next lowest is Mission Impossible Fallout with a 86.67. So that's a 70-point disparity. Just some fun facts.
Just some fun facts.
And then our next category from Tony Rodriguez. How much felt is in the movie inspired by Muppets Take Manhattan?
Oh,
so how much felt? Probably POW flag. What's that made out of in Robin Williams' office?
I think Affleck is wearing like a velour shirt. I guess that's not felt, but he's wearing like a velour short sleeve shirt in two different scenes.
Sure.
It's really a weird choice.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
When he's on the train, he has like a velour ringer tee. I'm like, that would be so hot.
I feel like in the late 90s, there was a weird like 70s renaissance. Like people were into like Trans Ams again and like Urge Overkill was all over the radio.
How much felt is in this movie?
Much felt?
Like I would give it a score of 8 exclusively for Robin Williams' arms.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Fair enough.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
They're doing so much heavy lifting.
25 for reps. I would have been like 1 rep max or for reps. Be honest with me, Sean.
Did Robin Williams look like in shape to put bench press 285?
285 is a lot.
That seems like a lot.
It is. But also let's get semantical. He's got short levers, like short arms and a bigger chest, and that makes it way easier. You have less of a range of motion. He would have to be pretty strong. Maybe he did 285 when he was in Vietnam or wherever we're supposed to assume he was.
Sure.
Yeah.
He had to push a helicopter off of himself.
Yeah.
They're 285 pounds helicopters. Right.
Got it. Well, these things fly so easily.
Isn't it time we had another great Vietnam movie? Like, we're getting all these World War I, World War II. Give me Vietnam. It's relevant.
Yeah, give me Vietnam with
Vietnam
like,
relevant.
With a layer of like self-awareness of like what were we doing there.
Watched that movie Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and one of the characters is like a draft dodger, and it's not a spoiler, but at the end of the movie he decides he goes to Vietnam and like this is the happy ending, like of him like, I'm not dodging the draft anymore. He goes on a bus to join the army to go to Vietnam and this is the happy ending. Yeah. Like, no,
this is gonna work out great for you, bud.
Yeah. What are you going to give it, and how much felt, John?
I guess because of also because of Robin Williams' arms, I'll give it an 8. Why not
8? I guess is body hair, arms, is felt. I don't know.
How you wish to interpret the category?
That's true. I'm going to give it a 5 just for that. I think a POW flag is probably made of felt.
Yeah, you might be right.
Typically, that's how they are.
All right, from Nick Weiger, facial hair.
There's like
the beard. Robin Williams' beard.
Is the only one with facial hair.
A lot
in this
of the
movie.
Heavy lifting.
Yeah. Robin Williams has a beard that the hypnotist has like a little goatee, right?
Right, a little soul patch, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He might have like a flavor saver. I don't know. Facial hair. Yeah. Oh, because Weiger did Fallout.
Yes.
And Henry Cavill's facial hair is doing so. God, that movie fucked me up. the joke I made to Weiger after we saw that movie was, Henry Cavill makes me want to ask more questions about the Q in LGBTQ.
Sure.
I'm like, I know I'm not L or T. Am I B or Q?
You could be B.
A light B?
An occasional B.
Occasional B.
When I vacation, I'm B.
For aesthetic enjoyment, I would say maybe I am B, you know?
Like, sure.
I love the male figure, and Henry Cavill is hot
as
fuck in that movie.
Great example. Yeah.
His whole character in that movie is so fun to me. He's like arch in a weird way, like he literally gets to do like full on superhero villain by the end.
Marvel villain.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, if you don't appreciate him, it's like not appreciating like a beautiful sunset. Like, exactly. What are you, dead inside?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'll give, like, Vanessa Kirby, also an absolute smoke show.
Total smoke show.
Never said that Henry and Cavill and Vanessa Kirby, both hot. I'll give facial hair. I guess I'll give it a 20 for Robin Williams.
Yeah, he's doing all the work.
Yeah. The bench scene features some real dramatic beard shots.
Very great.
Very center frame.
Right.
I'm going to give it a 10 because I feel like, out of all the dudes in this movie, only one person has facial hair.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, I guess when you find out that Matt Damon's 20, right?
They're
like
little
in that
babies.
Movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they're children.
But this, I will say, I'm going to give it a 25 because this is an Academy Award nominated beard.
Winning beard, not nominated.
Yeah.
All right. Second to last. So your category, you better is next is after next. This. This last one is from Brian Safi. Broken Glass.
Broken Glass is in this movie.
Interesting.
There was a lot. There was some. He did Suspiria 2018. So there was a lot of Broken Glass in Suspiria.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I enjoyed that movie a lot.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
John's iffy. is there any Broken Glass in Good Will Hunting?
They don't.
They smash some beer bottles ever?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, do they throw something through a window?
Because the fight is on the basketball court.
There's no, like, is there zero
broken
bar
fight? Wow.
Yeah, no, there's
that's
no broken glass.
Numbers.
Yeah, I guess. Gotta give it a 0 if there's no broken glass.
Ouch. There goes
I'll give it a 1.
Award. A one, based on what?
I don't know. I'm sure someone broke a glass on set.
Oh, right. I didn't even think about behind the scenes.
I mean, that shouldn't really count because it's not what we're seeing.
A PA dropped a Gus's,
someone sat
Gus's
on,
a, cold
on someone's glasses or something.
Battleship Potemkin.
I'm giving it a 0.
All right.
There's no book. All right, Gabers, we're to you now. What category would you like to add? Our scoring for the gayest movie ever.
Male on. Hold on. Back off. What am I trying to say here?
What are you trying to say?
Male gaze.
The male gaze.
The gay male gaze. Like the male gaze of males. So male.
Like, how much does it subjectify men just in the shooting of it?
How many hot shots of, like, is there a.
Sexualizing men?
Yes. Well, I'm trying to think of what's a better way to phrase that?
Well, I think they call it the female gaze. You could call it that. You could call it a homo gaze.
But we're talking about, yeah, exactly. We're talking
the homo gaze.
Male gaze, G-A-Y hyphen Z-E.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I got my male gaze right here.
Hey.
Boys.
How did you spell it?
G-A-Y-Z-E.
Dash Z.
All right. Basically, how many men are
how many
sexualized?
How much hunky cinematography is
yeah,
there?
Cinematography is there? So what are you going to give Good Will Hunting for the male gaze?
I'm going to give it... I'll give it 45. There's some shirtless Damon. There's
Built like a gymnast.
I will say there's like some sexualization of Robin Williams' forearms in this movie.
I mean, when isn't there?
Yeah, right. There's a lot of like weirdly, like his arms folded. They look good. They look like buff and tan. And
oh, yeah.
And there's like, it's like in a lot of shots.
Was he short, Robin Williams?
I think he is.
I don't think he's a tall man. Maybe.
Yeah. Is Matt Damon short?
Yeah, I think he's tiny. Yeah.
And Affleck is like 6'2", like he's like
He's a mook.
A mook.
Is that offensive? I don't know.
No, I think you're okay with mook. But again, maybe not the barometer you want to
have. Gabe wasn't offended.
The guy who's on a podcast called Two Old Queens going, how about male gaze?
Get it, gaze.
Because that's what I, because when I was watching the movie, I was like, oh, I was wondering how gay the movie was. And it's not at all. But then there are like, interesting shots of some of the male characters.
It feels like a movie they would show at gay conversion camps.
Yes.
On movie nights.
Yeah. Is that why I like this one? Yeah. It pulled me out of the darkness when I saw it when I was 15. Yeah.
John, what are you going to give it for the male gaze?
I'm going to say 15. I don't know. I didn't feel like there was, if it was trying, if that was the goal, I think there was more opportunities for them to be shirtless, various states of undress or whatnot.
I was also aiming to find a category that would, you know, like
age well with other
numbers.
Yeah, that would like I'm curious to see other people's opinions on their movies of their.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 25 in the middle because I feel like you could tell the steady hand of Gus Van Sant behind the camera. All right. So now we're going into our bonus points round. Now these are categories that are not. There's not the average. It's either they are not. Are they are subjective.
You sort of say yes.
They
or
are.
No.
Okay.
We all sort of agree.
Yes or no. We kind of all agree. All right. So straight actors playing gay roles -5% for each instance. I don't think there's any of that.
Well, I think if
but
you
if you're saying George
if you're
Clinton
saying George
gay,
Clinton is gay, then that
but
is one.
But is he playing a gay character? Like the character? Like the character?
Is that what that's you what said? Though you said
right,
he
that's
was playing
right,
a gay,
I'm
but he's a straight man, the actor.
But
so that
like,
would be -5%.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to, according to me, knock it down 5%. But you two both say he's not.
Yeah. So that would be
maybe
zero.
I should defer to you guys.
Yeah, I would say, and also like George.
And he's not like a character in the one sequence.
I would say
he's a role though. It's a role.
He's on a call sheet.
He's on the call sheet.
I would say
but he's
no.
only a gay character because another character says you are gay, right? Like
that's how it works.
Yeah. That's how that's
he's
shit.
Labeled gay in the movie. It's not
I'm gay. My dad called me gay. I'll defer to you guys because I believe that, but
I think zero.
I think it's
a gay person in this movie. Great. Oops, hold on. Doing something wrong. Okay, great. Positive portrayals of homosexuality, you get a bonus point of 15%.
I don't think it's
big zero.
Zero. I think zero. Yeah.
Well, according to you guys, there's no portrayal of homosexuality. And if there was, I wouldn't call it positive.
All right. And then our last one, -50% if you're the movie Cruising. Is this the movie
Cruising? This is not the movie Cruising, so we'll not be docked 50%.
Okay, all right. Thank God I didn't pick Cruising.
We would have told you to pick something else.
All right. So as we tally these numbers. First, let me do a quick rundown of our top five.
Okay.
Number one, still Muppets Take Manhattan, 66.17. Number two with 58.94, 9-5. Number three, Suspiria, 45.93. And number four, Kids Are All Right, 45%.
Oh, okay.
And number five, Mission Impossible Fallout with 38.80. Good Will Hunting, out of a possible 1,450 points, you scored 225.33, giving you a total percentage of total possible points, 15.54, making you the ninth gayest movie ever. You're gayer than What About Bob?
Oh.
So it's not the least gay movie, the second to least gay movie.
Oh, okay. And it, what do you think skewed that? Because is it probably the adding the male gaze category?
No, it scored very low in felt. It scored very low in teamwork, where others, it scored very well in caper. It scored very low.
What about Bob didn't have those categories at the time?
Right, right.
So.
Oh, okay, okay. I see.
It scored very low in Camp Factor, makeover montage, and actual gay characters didn't help. So what would we do? Like, what could we do to make this movie gayer, do you think?
I mean, put the sex scene back in.
Put the sex scene back in.
Have Chucky and Will fuck randomly.
Yeah, and don't treat gayness as like a weird thing to be.
Yeah.
To Will, Good Will Hunting's credit, I don't think they linger on that so much.
No, I think that's a defense mechanism.
I don't think it's like an aggressive, I don't think it's like a homophobic movie.
No, but I guess I would say the only time gayness is mentioned is as an insult.
Right.
Correct.
So that's
but again,
not
I don't
great.
Think they linger on it too much. I don't disagree at all.
The fact that it's brief doesn't help.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
At least at the end,
I think,
once.
Like, even like the basketball scene. Why don't we have some guys on shirts and some skins?
Thank you know what I mean?
Why don't we get some of that?
There's
got to be a shower scene in there somewhere.
How can we make the movie gayer? Is like, what if like Casey Affleck, when they walk in on what he's jerking off to, it's gay porn?
Sure.
And they're like, what the fuck, man? And he's like, I'm sorry. It's just like, it's the way.
He gives himself a makeover montage.
Yeah, he's like, this is the most. And then his friends are like, they buy Matt Damon a car, but instead they find a guy, the only other gay dude in Southie.
<It's> like he's like sitting on it. I had the one.
Do you want to know about Stonewall?
Let's see Stellan Skarsgård make his character bi and see him hitting on male and female students.
Thank you.
And then that would kind of
there's something with him and
Smithers. And then that would hype up like some kind of weird relationship with Smithers. Yeah. Some sort of mentor, mentee, top
or maybe
bottom
if one
thing.
Of those books Will reads is maybe goes through all the books by Jacqueline Suzanne. Maybe he reads Valley of the Dolls.
Right.
You know? Would it kill you to read something you're not familiar with? God. Great. Well, that was Good Will Hunting.
Wait, I want to talk about
some final thoughts.
I do want to talk about the rumor of the screenplay being ghostwritten by other people. What do you guys think about that?
Maybe. I don't know. It is weird that they haven't really written anything else.
Right. Affleck has co-written two other movies, but not with Matt Damon. And Matt Damon co-wrote
one other movie. Yeah.
But William Goldman has come out and like at a WGA presentation said he didn't do like.
I think he said, I wish I wrote it.
Right.
He said he met with them and helped gave them some script
notes, which happens to every movie.
But then also we can sit here and go like Robin Williams improvised some lines, you know,
but
like
every movie there's like
right there's
always,
there's no movie is just solely one person wrote
right, yeah. The screenplay winning is always like are we reading the screenplay or are we watching the movie and saying it's well written,
right?
Like what's the how are we doing it?
How do you come out on that? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, for a long time there's something about it that feels very true. You know what I mean? But also, like, there are so many clunky parts in it that it also makes sense that this is sort of, like, first-time screenwriters.
It feels like it's written by Chucky and Will.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's written by those two characters because it, like, glorifies the characters they're playing in some way and, like, what they believe themselves to be. So it feels like it really came from them. And not, I don't even mean that positively.
Yeah, right. No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I just figured we should talk about because it is such a, like, a thing that is attached to this movie.
I say that you're right. Cause like they don't really talk about it. They don't like ride high off of it. You know, there's not like Good Will Hunting staged readings or anything like that.
That's true.
I'm curious, what are what's Matt and Ben's relationship like now?
I don't know. It seems weird. Like Ben Affleck seems like be like a loner or something
Ben Affleck has addiction issues, gambling, drinking, and allegedly pills.
And but Matt Damon's like a type A, probably.
Yeah, Matt Damon's a little bit of a it's weird that they never do anything together again.
Right.
They could be like our generations, like De Niro and Pacino. You know what I mean? Like how they're like in Heat and everyone's like, wow. Like I think if Matt Damon and Ben Affleck did like a two-hander together, people would be so excited.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It would be like a great, but why haven't they yet? Yeah, they don't need to. You're right. But also, has Matt Damon done much lately?
He did that stupid shrinking movie, Downsizing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it also could be a matter
wall.
Of like. It seems, yeah. It seems like they both do movie. Huge. They both are like individually huge movie stars. And yeah. So, like, it must be hard to, like, schedule, like, right, how can we get right. together to do something?
But they could, like, if imagine Matt and Ben. Wrote mm-hmm. another movie together for them to star in together.
Good like, Will sure. retiring.
I mean, not it doesn't have to be an update of Good Will Hunting. That
just
would be pretty
Will Hunting.
Yeah. but I just think that they would like they could fucking set Hollywood on fire doing a movie together.
They're probably someone saving that for when like they have
they need
it. Yeah.
But like someone needs to do the whole like. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Leo and Brad thing, where it's like, put these two guys together in a movie who everyone would be so, like, who have never done a movie together,
right.
but are so both iconic in their way.
Right, right, right.
Like, Matt and Ben coming back together to do a movie, I think, in a world where everyone is doing arbitrary bullshit for marketing purposes, like, right. that feels like a real gimme.
True.
I feel like Ben Affleck is, like, probably not as good an actor as Matt Damon.
100%
I feel like, because mm-hmm. I think my favorite Ben Affleck thing is Gone Girl, because I think that is really who he is, where he's, like, just kind of a user,
yeah.
just an asshole who just wants to get away with doing whatever bullshit he wants and doesn't want to be held to accountability, which is why I thought he was perfect in Gone, because that's exactly who yeah. the character is in Gone Girl.
Well, all right, so I'll back off. They write a movie together. Matt Damon stars in it. Affleck directs it.
Because okay.
Affleck is a pretty right. good director.
He's a good director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like his movies.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, all right then.
Well, that's Good Will Hunting. We got some listener feedback. If you leave us a review, maybe I'll read it on air.
Oh, my goodness.
This is air. Sure.
sure.
Very quickly, Jay Lynn, CO 2018, says, hello, 5 stars. She said, I laugh out loud through every episode. Even the theme song is hilarious. The guests are great, too.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Danny Cohen. Thank you, John Gabris.
right? And then
that person's referring to me.
Yeah, yeah absolutely.
So not being out yet.
And then WP668855. I hope it's not
all
a robot.
The Russian bots yeah. coming out.
Well, they said enchanting. This Russian bot said, podcast spoiler warning ending. It will turn out that life itself is the gayest movie of all time and with that we have all played our roles in achieving it. Until then, enjoy listening to the amazingly funny host slash guest throughout the journey. Is life isn't itself? Nice? I don't. Do they mean that movie Life Itself with which Oscar is, Isaac and Annette Bening, which is insane. Just watch the first hour. You won't regret it. It's on Amazon Prime. well, thank That's you so sweet. Much for doing Two Old Queens. Anything you yes. would like to plug? Any of your many podcasts?
Yeah, check out High and Mighty if you're a fan of Two Old Queens. You would like my episode with Mark
stories.
And John. Yeah. check out our Two Old Queens Oscar previews, summer blockbuster, whatever.
Yeah.
whenever we're all three of us are available and we just talk about movies before and after. and if you're a big fan of movies, I have a movie podcast called Action Boys that's on Patreon, so it's behind a paywall. I understand that's not for everyone, but we it's almost the opposite of this podcast.
I'm going to say it's actually not.
No, it's pretty close. Yeah. On paper, three straight white men. I guess three straight white men doing a podcast together is called a podcast.
Sure.
But that's Action Boys. Check that on Patreon. We review classic action movies, and we always talk about the movies longer than their runtime.
Perfect.
Which is disgusting.
Perfect. Great. Well, that's it for us. Please yeah. follow us Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, T-W-O Old Queens.
Or you can email us at Two Old Queens, again, T-W-O Old Queens at gmail.com. Let us know if you have any comments, things you want to say, stuff you think we got wrong, any of that fun stuff. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. And then all right. that's it.
I think that's it.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arche. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.